But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Amen. In this setting, if you go back to the beginning of this chapter, Acts chapter 26, you would find that the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony before Agrippa, and he gives it with great passion and great conviction. And he goes through at different times in the New Testament. You find where the apostle at least gives parts and variations of his testimony. And so he is, as he relates it to Agrippa, I went to Damascus. I was on my way, he would say to him, to Damascus, with authority also being commissioned, with a goal in mind and permission from the chief priest to go to Damascus and to arrest those and put men and women in prison, whatever he deemed necessary to bring about the end, or to try to crush the movement of Christianity and the gospel being preached through faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's on this road to Damascus when the sun shines even greater than its strength at noon. And the Apostle Paul and those that journey with him in this setting, it says they all fell to the ground. And then the voice of the Lord spoke to the Apostle and let him know what his calling was going to be. And you know, it's not always that we get a revelation like that at the beginning. When we come to the altar and we repent of our sins and we give our life to Christ, it's not always at that moment that we get a full and complete revelation. Not necessarily that it was so complete, but at least Paul at his conversion had somewhat of an understanding of what his call and his ministry was going to be from that point on. And I like that part in verse number 19 where he said to Agrippa, Whereupon, O Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision. Hallelujah. And I think it would be good if every once in a while we would look at the call that is upon our life and the things that we already know that we are supposed to do, and analyze again and ask ourselves the question, are we being disobedient unto that heavenly vision? We do have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is in His Word. All of us are called to be saints. And I thought Brother Terry Bowling done a wonderful job this morning during ministry share time, kind of showing us the difference between being appointed and being called. And to be appointed is not necessarily wrong. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it makes it so much better when we know that we have had a calling from God. Hallelujah. I also like what he said in verse number 18. This is really where I probably will spend most of the time today. He said to open their eyes. He's speaking about the Gentiles. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Hallelujah. I think probably every one of us, if you really were born again, there's no doubt. If you were born again, you know, and you are glad for that day in your life when you also turned from darkness unto light. Praise God. Amen. You know, I've been in the state of Alaska. It's a beautiful place. And the time of year that we was there actually was about this time of year. And I've heard people talk about it. I've read about it. And I know from the experience, the short time that we was there, I really enjoyed it because at the time that we was there, the days were long. Hallelujah. I mean, one of those evenings, Brother Bowling, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, we was watching the whales jump from the water. Plenty of sunlight, 11:30 in the evening, when most people around here would be asleep. But the days are so long, almost 24 hours of daylight. But also there are times of the year where it's 24 hours, almost 24 hours of complete darkness. Amen. So I know I don't want to live there. I'm glad Brother Martin's there. I'm glad he's doing a good work there. But I don't want to be there because for me, there's too many days of darkness. I like the days of light. I like the sunlight. Hallelujah. Amen. If there were no sun, if the sun did not give its light to this earth, there would absolutely be no life on this earth. There is life in light. There is energy in light. Amen. I gotta hurry. There's so many things here I could get sidetracked on. But the book of St. John chapter 3, also in that dialogue that Jesus Christ was having with Nicodemus, amen, that wonderful chapter in verse number 16 that we quote so many times, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just a few more verses on down in that chapter, in that same time of dialogue that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, he says to him, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Amen. But the problem is for that generation and for our generation as well, amen, is the other part of that verse. And men love darkness. And men love darkness rather than light. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Amen. That's how they're condemned. And that's what's causing them to realize that they are under condemnation. Amen. And instead of them making a turn and going to the light, it causes them to retract and to try to find a place of sometimes, even when the light of the gospel comes, people will retract even into deeper sin and more darkness because they do not like what the light is already exposing in their life because it is bringing condemnation. But oh, brothers and sisters of the church, if we just knew how to express to people at that moment, instead of withdrawing further into darkness and going away from the light, that would be the moment when light has come into their world, that they would turn from their darkness and go toward the light. Oh, the relief. And all of you all that I'm preaching to this morning that have made that turn in your life, you have an understanding of what it is like at that moment when you turn from darkness and go into the light. Praise God. Amen. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Amen. They were. But if you will turn and go toward the light, those evil deeds can no longer have power over you. Amen. This becomes the challenge as soul winners. How do we get people, amen, to come to the light and not retract and continue to tarry in darkness? How do we get them to make that turn? How do we convince them, amen, to come out of darkness and go toward the light? Amen. As stated by Saul of Tarsus concerning his Damascus road, experience. I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When the light comes, the glorious light of the gospel, when it shines on your path and you turn from darkness to light, amen, do not be disobedient unto that heavenly vision, because you can continue on. You can walk on in the light. Thank God for the light. Thank God for the condemnation that came that day on the Damascus Road. Amen. But if Saul would have got up and went right back to that darkness from whence he came, we would have never have had the testimony before Agrippa. Amen. Oh, God. We know there are thousands that have been exposed to the light. There are many that have seen the light. There are many that have read from the light. But instead of them going toward it, they turned and went away from it. Amen. And they lose their testimony of being obedient. Amen. To the heavenly vision. God is light. Amen. The light comes from above. Amen. And it's always going to take us in the correct direction if we go with the light. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. I've got to hurry. Verse 12. I love these verses. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say that with me. Saints in light. Amen. Let's say it again. Saints in light. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. Oh, I like this. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. I know that darkness has power. I know that darkness has a way of holding people and compassing them and trying to restrain them. But thank God for that power that has delivered us from that darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to praise God. Have you been translated? Are you walking in the light? Do you remember the day that light shined on your path and you changed? You was translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Woo, thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I love this. But ye are a chosen generation. Somebody say that. A chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth praises of him, oh hallelujah, who hath called you out of darkness, amen, into his marvelous light. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Can I do a little exercise with you? Amen. How many of you the last few weeks when all of these storms have been going through? Amen. And all of a sudden you hear a big clap of thunder. And maybe you was close enough that you saw the flash of lightning. Amen. And then all of a sudden your appliances went off and the lights in your house went off. Amen. And all, there you are, even if it's in the daytime, it still seems a little dark. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you during that time have walked over to the switch and flipped it? Amen. I don't know what we're thinking, except just out of habit, we know that something is supposed to happen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It happened to us not too long ago. But in a few minutes, the light come back on. The appliances, amen, come back to life. And
And all of a sudden there's a feeling. Come on now, you're relating that. I'm just feeling there's light. There's energy. There's power. It's come back. Amen. And at least for a few seconds, our mind is thankful and our hearts are grateful that we have electricity and we can flip a switch and the lights will come on. Amen. Many people in our generation do not even realize the wonderful blessing we have until it's gone for a few minutes. Amen. But I'll tell you the truth. We have lived in the light of the gospel for so long until we scarcely realize how blessed we are to be walking in the light. Oh, God help us. I'm not asking anybody to fall into sin. I'm not asking anybody to take a hiatus. Amen. But I wish for a moment that God would just let us know. And He has ways sometimes of showing us what it's like to be in darkness. Amen. We live in this marvelous light. We walk in this marvelous light. We go to church in this marvelous light. We study the Sunday school lessons in this marvelous light. And if we're not careful, amen, we'll become critical and sometimes vain in our imaginations about others that are in the light. We have forgotten. Oh, I love that verse. Praise God. Y'all want to worship for a moment? Woo, hallelujah. He called us. Come on. Let's just kind of bask in verse number 9 for a minute. Woo, I like that. I like that. I like that. Give Him praise. Amen. He's called us. Hallelujah. Amen. To shew forth praises. He called us out of darkness. Amen. Is there anybody here that can remember that dark place that you was in? Amen. Oh, yes. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous His marvelous light. Oh, we give You praise, Lord. We love You today. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Woo, hallelujah. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. Hallelujah. Verse number 4. And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. If your joy's not full, there's something wrong with where you're living. You're not living in the light. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me to preach this today. Amen. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. Hallelujah. Declare unto you. Amen. Here it is. Here it comes. I'm fixing to tell you what it is. Amen. That God is light. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I thought He was love. Well, God is love. But you know, there's a lot of people that don't have the correct picture and image in their mind of who God is. Amen. But here He reveals Himself in this verse. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Woo! Man, how am I going to preach about a God that is light? That's who He is. That's what His substance is. That's what He is. That's who He is. Amen. Oh, that's big enough by itself. But then, as Brother Tommy said, in no darkness. Oh, man. Whew. Ever good and ever perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness. Neither shadow of turning. No darkness at all. Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Cleanseth us from all sin. If y'all can't tell, The pastor's having a good time up here preaching this morning about the light. Praise God. Somebody want to rejoice with me just for a moment or two? Praise God. Aren't you glad for the light? Aren't you glad for that marvelous light? Aren't you glad that God we serve is light and in Him is no darkness at all? Oh, hallelujah. Put Him up there. Try to compare Him with the light of the sun. I don't know. I don't know what to compare Him by. The stars, they say there's stars that's larger, have more energy than the sun. Amen. But at times, the darkness compasses about. We don't always see them, but God is light. And in Him, amen, hear me now, God. The God that you serve does not have a dark side. He does not have a side that's a shadow. He does not have a side that's evil and wrong. Amen. Oh no. Amen. Wherever He is, the light is going out. Amen. From the east, the west, the north, the south. Amen. It matters not. There is no darkness in Him. It's all light. Always has been and always will be. And thank God for every one of us that have been exposed to the sunlight of an almighty God. Hallelujah. You remember in Luke chapter 7, Jesus enters the city of Nain. A widow going to bury her only son. How many remember that? Oh man. For those of you that have lost loved ones in recent days, you have an understanding of just how dark, even though you're saved, even though you're a Christian. I've been in situations, I've had to be with people and deal with people when it seemed like, Brother Dickie, it was dark. Even though everybody was saved, Brother Todd, everybody in the room was saved. And we had the joy of the Lord. And we had the light of Christ in our life. But it just seemed like darkness, amen, was overcoming us, overwhelming us. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's not always that we understand it and we see it. It's not always that we can really feel the warmth of the sun. Sometimes it's dark. I mean, we understand somewhat about darkness. Even on a cloudy day. Amen. Even when it's night here, it's light somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When the clouds are overcast, the sun is still yet shining above. Well, I'm telling you, for us, sometimes the clouds and the mist, and it seems like the darkness is so great that we can almost feel it. Amen. I just have to believe that this woman was having one of those dark days. Hallelujah. But oh, thank you, Jesus. Maybe the funeral was already over. It seemed like maybe they were proceeding to the place of the tombs or the graveyard as we would know it. But it just so happened that Jesus came walking down that road. Amen. I like to say it this way. At that moment, if He made a turn and started down that street, light turned into her darkness. Amen. Not necessarily her darkness turned into light, but light turned into to that dark place where she was. Hallelujah. And we always know what happens when darkness, when light turns into darkness. Darkness has not the power. Amen. Hear me, young person. Hear me, struggling saint of God. Darkness has no power over the light. Hallelujah. Amen. Death turned into life. The grave turned into the resurrection. God made a difference at that moment when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world, turned down that dark street, amen, and headed to that woman that was experiencing darkness in her life. Jesus Christ changed it at that moment. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. I would ask you to remember the Apostle Paul's first encounter with the light. I'm almost done. I'm not going to be preaching too much longer. I know that many of us would turn to Acts 26, and I just read that to you. Amen. But really, it starts back in about Acts chapter 8 or so. Is that right if I just talk to you for a little bit? Amen. When that New Testament church was getting started. There was a man by the name of Stephen that it seemed like nobody could withstand his words. Oh, man. He was powerful in word. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And here he was one day trying, Brother Bowling, to to turn the people from darkness to light. That's what Stephen was trying to do. He begins to preach them a sermon. Man, you ought to go read it sometime. Powerful, powerful words. He gives them the history of their nation. He enumerates different ones of the patriarchs that he knew that they had confidence in. I'm talking about Stephen now. I mean, it's pretty good. It takes several verses there in that chapter that it recounts his message or his sermon. Amen. And it just seemed like, I mean, you can almost abruptly see that change in his sermon. I mean, you know, if they would have grasped who he was talking about and realized we're a son of Abraham, we're a son. Amen. We could have these blessings you're trying to tell us about, enumerating these things. But he realizes that his message is not being received. It seems like that it's just not connecting. The orator is really, he was connecting with him, but it just seemed like it wasn't having the effect that he wanted it to have. And he abruptly changes and he says, which of the prophets did not your fathers kill? Man, I'm telling you, the atmosphere changed. You know what? It was still more light, but it brought condemnation on him. Woo. When they start thinking about all the prophets that they slew, and that they starved out and that they mistreated. Your father's done it. Amen. And here you are, this bunch I'm talking to you right now, you're the ones that crucified the Son of God. Man, they had all they could take. Darkness overcame them. I don't know, but I guess maybe I do understand a certain amount. When people become overcome with a demonic spirit of some kind, they will act out in ways that are unseemly. And it seemed like a demonic power possessed that mob. Y'all hear me preach? And they with one accord ran upon him and just started biting him like a bunch of wild mad dogs, gnashing on him with their teeth. Doctors that work in emergency rooms will tell you that a human bite is the most grievous bite. They're far more grievous than a human bite. They claim there's more bacteria and things in a human mouth. They say they're the hardest to treat, the easiest to get infected. I don't know how many horrible bites that he had all over him. Amen. But that wasn't all. They wasn't through with him. That spirit of cannibalism come over them, and they rushed him and they said, "Let's stone him." Amen. The church at Jerusalem, the New Testament church, is now experiencing a dark time. This fine young man, Stephen, this upcoming man that's going to take the church to the next level now, is being stoned to death. I went back and read some of that just recently. Stephen was stoned to death, calling on God. Amen. It makes a note that the young men laid their coats at the feet of a man named Saul of Tarsus. Which seems to make me think that at least Saul, maybe not with a stone in his hand, but he is at least observing. Brother Frank, he's analyzing. Those thoughts are going through his mind. I mean, here's a young man, probably about the same age I am. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, has been trained by the best of the Jewish leaders, by the best scholars that anybody could have opportunity to sit under. Saul of Tarsus can appreciate that about him because he's a studied man and an educated man. I hadn't lost y'all yet, huh? And he watches as Stephen is being stoned to death. And it said that Stephen kneels down, I suppose, while the stones are yet coming. And he says, "God, lay not this sin to their charge. Anyway, now this is my commentary right here. But I think at that moment, there was a ray of light that penetrated Saul of Tarsus that was just as powerful as that light that came that day on the Damascus Road. You may disagree with me, but something, by the time he had the Damascus Road experience, something had been working on his heart. He never got away from what he saw that day. While somebody comes to the piano and gets ready to sing us a song here. Hallelujah. Am I helping anybody here this morning? Praise God. Oh, if I could get somebody to turn. Maybe it's somebody in this building. Maybe it's somebody listening in South Africa. Maybe it's somebody listening in the UK. Maybe it's one of those boys listening on one of our bases. Wherever this word is going here today, or wherever it will go, hear this preacher this morning tell you, turn from darkness to light. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Are you working with me, church? Can we get a witness from the saints of God in the house today? Turn, turn, turn from darkness. Turn from darkness to light. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know who my singers are going to be, but I'm ready for you to come. I don't know really what to do right here. I mean, I can think of numbers of things, but I don't know. It's been on my mind the last little bit. What I've heard my dad say about our family so many times. And again, you have to understand, I'm coming from the perspective. I was born in a parsonage. My dad was pastor in church when I was born. I understand about being saved, but I've just, my whole life has been in the light. I could accept a lot of things, and I have accepted a lot of things just because of culture. Just by being with people that are walking in the light. Amen. When you walk with people that are in the light, you have fellowship with them and they have fellowship with Christ. You're just gonna, you know, God don't have to teach you everything. You can learn some things by just walking in the light and walking with the saints and seeing what God's doing in their life and learn from them. There's nothing wrong with that. I know there are some advantages to being first generation, but you know, I can remember my grandmother and them telling, you know, about how it was with them when God turned that family from darkness. Amen. I think about it so many times. My grandpa, 9 years old, I think about that when his mother died. And they didn't go to church. They were unchurched people. They didn't know anything about God. No Sunday school, no nothing. They just didn't know. Amen. Third grade education, very little education. You know, my grandpa was real good with numbers. He could do a lot of things with numbers in his head, but he could hardly much more than write his name. Anyway. Praise God. But I loved it when they told about that Church of God preacher. I don't know how it happened. He found him somewhere. And exposed him to the light. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, when people turn from darkness. Darkness to light. I'm telling you, that darkness that had a hold of him. I was just thinking about it recently. I can remember as a little child asking my grandmother so many times. I was about 9 years old when my grandfather passed. And he didn't speak about it so much. But Granny said, you know, said, Dad, she called him Dad. Dad had another sister. He said, you know, Dad got saved. Grandpa, which would be my great-grandpa, got saved under that same preacher. Their other brother got saved. They had a sister, but she didn't get saved. She retracted to the darkness. Went back on with that crew that they were running with, that circus, Grandma called it, whatever it was. Still continued on in that darkness. They never heard from her again. They don't know what happened to her. Nobody knows. No doubt darkness overtook her somewhere. Oh, I'm so glad when I t- To me, it's kind of like when that electric goes off, and every once in a while, I just need to flip the switches off and try to remind myself of what it would be like. If you don't get anything from this message today, when you go home this evening to shave or to brush your teeth, would you just think about how blessed we are to be able to turn that faucet on? I tell you, I know what it is. You know, young boys, at least in my era of time growing up, we kind of gauged our strength by how much water we could carry in a 5-gallon bucket. We got to where we could carry 2 5-gallon buckets of water. You know, we had to carry it to the house because we didn't have running water. We had it at the house, but we didn't have it at the barn a lot of times. And I think about it in that same way. I'm so glad that somebody, Brother Ethan, somebody help my family way back then to hit the light switch and turn on the lights. Man, they turned it on for our family. And don't get the idea. I'm not preaching the idea that saves you. That does not. All that does is give you a better opportunity if you'll let it work for you in the right way. Some people, it works against them because their evil deeds are exposed by walking in the light. That one thing I want to do when I get to heaven, I want to find that Church of God of Prophecy preacher that led my grandfather to the Lord. I want to thank him. Church, why are you saying, preacher, why are you doing this? Because I'm trying to encourage a whole bunch of us to get off of our seats of do nothing. Just think what a difference we can make for somebody else's family if we would go out and expose somebody to the light. Woo, man, I'm telling you. He's probably 21, 22 years old, third grade education. But I'm telling you, that man was so glad. The rest of his days, he was so glad. He'd tell us about it every once in a while. God let the light shine on his path. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd like to do that, you know. I'm feeling pretty good right now about soul winning. I'd like to go to somebody in the darkness. Again, I'm asking you to work with me, church. There's people listening all over the country right now. God may be dealing with somebody. Turn from darkness. Turn from darkness. Don't abide in the darkness. Don't tarry in the darkness. Begin to walk in the light. Can I add one more thing before I close out this little message? Again, that verse I shared with you, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. The first exposition to you about the light. The Apostle Paul saw the light on the Damascus Road, but he had to get up and walk in that light. I don't have time to preach all that. I know there was scales on his eyes. I get all that. And he had to be led. You know, he had to be led. A lot of us sometimes, you know, in the beginning we had to be led. But when they got him to the place, the light moved on somebody else and said, Brother Saul, moved on Ananias. Go over and lay. Oh, Lord, we've heard about him. I mean, here's a man praying, walking in the light as he is in the light. And he's praying. You know what? Some of us that have been saved for a long time, if we would be open to the Spirit of the Lord when we pray, you could help somebody. You could encourage somebody. You could encourage a young person. You could send a text message. You could write a letter. You could do something to help somebody else. And if you'll be sensitive, don't always be waiting on it to come your way. Don't always be gauging your spirituality or somebody else's by God move on somebody else. You ask God what you can do. You know, Brother Jeff, if I may, I shared this in the service the other day, but just come to me just right now. When I was preparing for Brother John David Long's service, getting my thoughts together, what I was going to speak in my allotted time, and I love Brother John David. He helped me so much, especially when I went on that mission board. He worked with me. He'd call and check on me like Brother Tinsley does sometimes, you know. This is how you doing. He called me his champion. Oh, you're a champion. And I loved that. I needed that. I was in that hotel room, Brother Todd, and I was praying. I don't know if you call it. I don't really think it was a pity party per se, but I was asking God, what's going to happen now? What am I going to, who's going to take that brother's place in my life? You know, God puts different people in our life, different times for different reasons. And I was just, I knew that I would miss those calls. And so I was asking God about it. I said, God, you know, feeling like it's almost unfair. Who's going to do that now? Who's going to call me? Who's going to check on me? And at that moment, Brother Jeff, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, who are you going to plug into? Who are you going to start calling? Who are you going to start encouraging? And I realized at that moment, somebody else was going to need me just like I felt like I needed him. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, everybody's in different growing stages of their life, and everybody needs something. So walk in the light. Encourage others to walk in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's not just that initial light. It's not just that picking yourself up off of the ground. The apostle had to walk in that light, and you've got to walk in it, young people. You don't get all the light when you get saved. Even as long as this precious man and this precious sister sitting right here, my parents, I love them. They don't have all the light. And you know what? The enemy would like to sidetrack both of them before they go on to be with the Lord. So they've got to continue to walk in the light. The light's always moving forward. Amen. And I'm so glad. I'm glad he didn't. If he tried to give it to us all at once, we'd be in trouble. If the electric company all of a sudden decided to send us all the power that you're going to need for the next year, you'd be in trouble. Amen. Isn't that amazing the way God works? Let's stand. I'm lingering a little bit too long right here, but just seemed like I'm speaking to you from my heart here this morning. He gives us what we need right when we need it. And he asks us to continue to walk in the light. Maybe God's going to use you. Maybe God's going to use you to pick up somebody and talk to them and take them to church. And maybe that person that's young, it's almost illiterate, it might be that they get saved and it make a difference for generations to come. I'm just trying to express to you the power of the light. I'd love to hear your testimony, Brother Todd. I want you to tell it again sometime. When you come in that little church, looking like you looked, and all the stuff that, it was just stuff that goes along with darkness. But somebody, and I'm so glad. I want to go to that person someday and say, I'm so glad that you worked with Brother Todd and his family. There's no telling how many lives have been touched. See, that's the way the light does. It just goes on and on and on and on. That one brother that's precious, that's already gone on to be with the Lord, Brother Prince. I've heard so many good things about him. He had a burden for you. He loved you. You probably would have never survived had it not been for him. He died at a young age, already enjoying his reward. And we're still walking in the light. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands in the house of the Lord today. Thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Go ahead and sing. Sister Narisa, the altars are open. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I really do. I feel God working in this service. I don't know where all God's going to use this, but he's using it somewhere. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I love this song.
Come where the dewdrops
of mercy
shine bright.
Oh, yes. Ooh, hallelujah.
Shine
all around me.
By day and by night.
Jesus, the light. He is the light of the world. He is the light. In him there is no darkness.
Walk in the light.
Beautiful light.
Come where the dewdrops of
mercy shine so bright.
Shine.